أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, our mothers and sisters who may be listening over streaming. Last week we had commenced our discussion on the commentary of the verse of the Quran Sharif in which Nabi Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salatu wa salam had made a dua. That topic is still under discussion, and inshallah we will discuss it on another occasion. But today we felt it appropriate to give some guidelines and to understand the current crisis that we are facing in this country, and in fact which is being faced globally. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviates the situation. However, as believers and as Muslimin and Mu'mineen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us certain guidelines. And this world is a world of cause and effect. Just as we know that if a person has fire, then the fire, the nature of fire is that it'll burn. If a person has got a knife and the knife is sharp, and if he has to place the blade on the knife on the flesh of a skin, it's going to cut. So this world is a world of cause and effect. The person goes into a cold environment, he will experience cold. The person goes into a warm environment, he'll experience warmth. So this world is definitely a world of cause and effect, and one cannot deny that particular aspect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also created this world such that conditions are the effect of certain causes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down certain conditions based on certain circumstances that are prevalent in society. Allah ta'ala speaks about the fact, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر, that corruption and mischief, instability and chaos, it becomes prevalent in a community, it becomes prevalent on the land and the earth, بما كسبت أيدي الناس, due to the actions of individuals, due to the actions of people. So Allah Ta'ala sends down conditions based on the actions and the activities of individuals. Why? لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُهُ. Allah Ta'ala wants to give us a taste. Allah Ta'ala wants to give us a taste of the consequences of our actions. And this is just a small sample. لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُهُ. A small sample of your actions, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And the reason why Allah Ta'ala sends down these conditions is so that the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the believers can turn and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can take a U-turn and come back to the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can change their lives and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if I respect to the elders and brothers, and our mothers and sisters, the current crisis that we see around us, it is definitely a crisis. And we must adopt whatever means we can to protect ourselves. A person, if he is in his particular locality, suddenly the crime rate increases, what does the person do? One person mentioned to me, he said that, Moana, in my home, none of us wear masks. And it is only one family member of ours that did not wear the mask, and only he got the virus. So if we have to use that logic, then what can be said to that individual is that if you have three children and all of them park their vehicles in a very dangerous area and two of the three left their keys inside, the third one locked the vehicle and put the alarm on and his car got stolen, will you then start advising everyone that, listen, if you want your car to be protected, so you make sure that you leave the key inside whenever you park it in a dangerous area? Is that what we will say? We will all say that you're very lucky, you're very fortunate that you had the key inside and you never got stuck the key inside. We won't say you did a foolish thing. We said you did the right thing. You adopted whatever means you did. Now Allah Ta'ala wanted it to go, it went. It was meant to go. So this world is a world of cause and effect. In fact, what we will say is that if a person left his vehicle there and he left the key inside and the car got stolen, then we won't say that it was meant to happen. What we'll say to that person? You were negligent. How could you have left the key inside the car? How could you have been so negligent to have parked it in an area like this? We'll say now that person was negligent. We'll not say that, no, you see, mashallah, what high level of yaqeen he has got, what high degree of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he has got, that he left his vehicle there and he left the windows open and he left the key inside and still it never got stolen or it got stolen. We won't say that. So in the same way, respected elders and brothers, this virus, we are not medical experts. Like when a person has got a crime situation in his locality, he won't go to the mechanic to find out what to do and how to resolve the crime situation. He'll go to a security expert. Those people who are in security will tell you, listen, you need to do this, put some beams outside your house, or put some electric fencing, or get this kind of a burglar bars. Don't put those burglar guards because they are able to get through it. We've seen from our experience, you rather put this kind of a thing or put that. Through their experience, that is the لِكُلِّ فَنِّ رِجَالٌ. It's in Arabic, for every field, they are experts in that field. So if a person has got a mechanical problem in his car, he won't go to the plumber. If the person has got a plumbing problem in the home, he won't go to the doctor. In the same way, when it's a medical situation, we will turn to the doctors. We will seek the advice from the doctors. And if the doctors say that, listen, the wearing of the mask it will give you some degree of protection. The washing of the hands and sanitizing of the hands will give you some degree of protection. So we will adopt it. But yet we know that if that security expert told us that if you put the electric fencing, it is a very good barrier, but we all still know that even with the security fencing, there's still the possibility that that robber and that burglar can get in. But we don't say that you must abandon the means. So this is how we should approach these things, is that adopt whatever means we can to protect ourselves and then trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Place our trust in, full trust in Allah ta'ala after we have adopted. Ya Allah, this much I could do. This was within my capacity and I have done it. Now Ya Allah, you protect me from this particular virus. But respected elders and brothers, over and above that, this is a moment for us to introspect that what are the actions within my life that could be bringing down the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person could be, for example, in the first saf of the masjid, or he could be outwardly very, very pious, but internally there could be some actions that he is engaging in that is bringing the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, the person is involved in interest-bearing transactions. Now, that person who is involved in interest-bearing transactions, Allah Ta'ala says that person who involves the gist of the verse of the Quran Sharif, فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, that person who will not abstain from interest, then he should be prepared for a declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when Allah Ta'ala has declared war on someone, can we imagine how angry Allah Ta'ala is with that individual? Now yet that person may be in the first saf. That person outwardly, his attire may be in conformance to Islam, in conformance to the Sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. But he is involved in one action which is bringing the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him. Similarly, a person could be usurping or violating the rights of someone. Last week I received a call that the few brothers are involved in a business and they had all pooled their monies together and they had commenced that business, and the verbal understanding was that everyone had an equal share, 25% share they all had. Now after many, many years, after the business has grown tremendously, gone now into the millions, now the one particular brother decides he wants to move on his own, he wants to become a little independent. Now he is going to negotiate with the brothers. They say that, no, you just take this here and take that there and then you go and you carry on. He said, but what about my share? I mean, I've got an equal share in this business. They said, we don't know about all of those things. So now he's telling me, Maulana, they're just giving me basically about 150 to 200,000 rand, yet my share in the business is close to 10 million rand. So now what has happened? They've usurped that individual's right, and now they gave him 200,000 rand. In other words, over 9 million they have eaten of somebody else's wealth. And now they've taken that 9 million, which is what we may term as poisonous. It is poisonous wealth, and they've now incorporated it into their business. And as a result, we find that that poison now will be fed to their children and their grandchildren and their family members. And this is how we find that this rot and filth now starts permeating within our communities. Hence we need to introspect in terms of our earnings. Is it halal? Is it haram? Have we given the right of those whose rights are due upon us? Similarly, respected elders and brothers, our akhlaq and our dealings with individuals. A person, how is he dealing with his spouse? How is he dealing with his staff who are working beneath him? Is he fulfilling their rights? Is he being kind to them? Or is he being harsh and hard to them? To such an extent, respected elders and brothers, even with regards to animals, even with regards to animals, if a person does not fulfill the right of that animal, one great alim, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, was writing a tafsir of the Quran Sharif, which is termed as Bayan al-Quran. So he was writing this tafsir of the Quran Sharif, and his wife had to go and visit her parents. So she advised him that, listen, make sure you feed the chickens outside. And he was involved in his writing and he completely slipped up, he completely forgot. And he mentions, he says, well, I was writing and then suddenly I noticed that none of that ulum was coming to the mind. I just couldn't write any longer. He said, I turn to Allah Ta'ala, that Ya Allah, is there some sin I have committed? Is there something that I have done as a result of which I am being deprived of this knowledge? And he said, suddenly the thought crossed his mind that you have not fed the chickens. He said, immediately I went and I fed these animals, I fed the chickens, I went back and I noticed, Alhamdulillah, the ulum began to flow once again. Imagine, respected Alison, that this is an animal. What about the rights of our fellow human beings? If we violate the rights of these individuals, on the day of Qiyamah, a person will be responsible. A person will have to give account for that. In fact, respected elders and brothers, with regards to the huququllah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can still get away. Huququllah means every single right which relates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, the performance of our salah, this discharging of our zakat, fasting in the month of Ramadan, performance of Hajj, these are all termed as huququllah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to fulfill it. But if a person, for example, there was some weakness in huququllah, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah is Arhamur Rahimeen. There is a great possibility Allah can forgive the person. There are many, many incidents of this nature. A person's entire life he spent in disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on one occasion, he did one action with such sincerity. As a result, Allah Ta'ala forgave every single sin that he had committed. So Allah Ta'ala can overlook huququllah and deficiencies in his rights. But when it comes to huququl ibad, the rights of our fellow human beings, whether it's the rights of our spouses, the rights of our employees, the rights of our neighbors, the rights of our children, then, respected elders and brothers, on the day of Qiyamah, a person will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah will say that this has got nothing to do with me. This is the right of somebody else. You have violated the right of your neighbor. You have made a ghibat of this individual. You have slandered this individual. For example, ghibah, respected elders and brothers. Dhikruka akhaak bima yakra. A person speaks behind the back of someone such a statement that if this person has to hear it, he will feel bad, he will feel sad, he will feel upset. Now how often don't we make ghibah of individuals? We are violating the rights of those individuals. On the day of Qiyamah, this will become exposed. And that individual will come back to us and say that you have made ghibah of me. You have spoken ill of me behind my back. And now I am going to take from your good deeds. One riwayah of Rasulullah s.a.w. comes to mind, in which Nabi Kareem s.a.w. inquired from the Sahaba ikram, Man al-Muflis? Man al-Muflis? That who is the bankrupt person? Who is a bankrupt person? Sahaba ikram responded to Rasulullah s.a.w. that that person has got no wealth. Nabi Kareem s.a.w. said, in fact, the bankrupt person is that person who comes on the day of Qiyamah with lots of good deeds. Lots of good deeds. And we will elaborate, the person performed salah, he gave zakat, he gave lots of charities, he did lot of good deeds. However, he violated the rights of individuals. He violated the rights of individuals. And we just digress a little. Once Sahaba al-Kiram came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, there are two women in Madinatul Munawwara. The one woman is extremely pious. She's extremely devout. She wakes up for tahajjud salah. She's fasting most of the time. She performs so much of salah, nawafil salah. She makes so much of tilawat of the Quran Sharif. So many good deeds she does. But Ya Rasulullah, her akhlaq, her character is such that she insults this one. She makes ghiba of that one. She swears this one. She's nasty to this one. Nabi Kareem Sasim said she will be in the fire of Jahannam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, there is another woman. She doesn't do any extra good deeds. She does what she needs to do. A faraid, wajibat, that is being fulfilled. But Ya Rasulullah, akhlaq. People love her. Her character is warm. She's kind to people. She's generous to people. She's sympathetic to people. She shows love to individuals. She's understanding. She's considerate. She's tolerant. Nabi Kareem Sassim said, she will go to the gardens of Jannah. She is in Jannah. So see, respected elders and brothers, just our character, the manner in which we deal with individuals, that can become a criteria for us entering Jannah and depriving us from entrance into Jannah. So coming back to the riwayah of Rasulullah s.a.w. Many muflis, who is the corrupt, who is the bankrupt person? Nabi Kareem s.a.w. said, this person will come on the day of Qiyamah with a mountain of good deeds. Allahu Akbar. A mountain of good deeds. How much of tahajjud salah? how much of khatams of the Quran Sharif the person made. But shatama hada, he insulted this person, he swore at that person, he sliced the heart of this individual, he hurt the feelings of this individual. Nabi Kareem Sahasim said, on the day of Qiyamah, each person will come forward and lodge his complaint, or lodge her complaint, that Ya Rasulullah, he violated my right, she violated my right. Allah Ta'ala will then instruct the person that now to do justice. Remember on the day of Qiyamah, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will set out the scales of justice. Not a single person will be oppressed. There will be absolute justice on the day of Qiyamah to such an extent that it is mentioned that that goat that had horns, if it had injured or it had used its horns to hurt another goat which was hornless, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will reverse the situation and that justice will be meted out. Justice will be meted out. And therefore, respected elders and brothers, we should be extremely cautious. Sometimes we are in a position of authority. Sometimes a person is weaker than us. Sometimes a person is helpless. Sometimes you find a person is deficient, he has got some inability. And now we violate the rights of that person. We insult that individual. Remember on the day of Qiyamah, Allah, if Allah reverses the situation for an animal, what about human beings? What about the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What about insan? Sometimes a person is blind and we mock the person who is blind. We say, oh blind one, oh fat individual. So we are mocking that person. It is not his fault that Allah has deprived him of sight. In fact, I was reading one riwayah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the sahaba ikram that whoever will walk with a blind person 40 steps, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will wipe away 40 of his major sins. Not even minor sins. Allah will wipe away 40 of his major sins. That this person was blind, this person was incapable, this person could not see. It was not his fault that he could not see. But you showed kindness to him, you showed love to him, you showed consideration to him. Allah will consider you on the day of judgment. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, those who are weaker than us, those who are incapable in our communities, those who are disabled, we should be considerate towards them. And hence fulfilling the right of each individual. On the day of Qiyamah, the person will say, Ya Allah, this person usurped my right. Allah will instruct that person, take as many good deeds from this individual's account as pleases you. It is mentioned that each one will come, they will take, they will take, they will take, until all his good deeds have been wiped out. But now people will still be coming forward. They will still come forward to say, Allah, but he did this to me, he did that to me, she did this to me, she did that to me. Allah will say, now you offload your sins into his account or her account till it pleases you. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described to Sahaba Ikram that this person came with a mountain of good deeds. He will now, his condition will be such that he will have a mountain of sins. May Allah protect us. Therefore, respected Alis and Madis, it is these kind of actions and activities that bring down the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, we all need to introspect in our lives. This crisis that we are seeing around us, this is a condition which is sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we had mentioned in the introduction, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. That our actions, our activities, it determines the condition that are sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, Allah wants us to return to Him. Allah Ta'ala wants us to introspect within our lives before it is too late. That is there something that I am doing in my life that is causing the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come down? One great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those days when they used to have horses, he says, the day I violate any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I commit any sin or something, some action I engage in which may invite the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, I find that that day my horse becomes rebellious, my horse becomes stubborn. So you find that the person that day will go wrong, things won't work out in that day. He needs to, or she needs to look into the life, that what I have done, what have I done today that may have invited the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within myself. We shouldn't point fingers at others. Sometimes when we listen to these bayans, we say, yeah, you see, he had a robbery in his shop, must be he's committing sins. Must be it is because of the sins that he is committing, that is why this has happened to him. That could be a test for that individual. Allah Ta'ala sometimes tests an individual. It could be a test for that person. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, We need to introspect within ourselves. Look at our actions and our activities. Are we usurping the rights of anyone? Are we engaging in interest-bearing transactions? Are we involved in immorality? And today we find with the cell phones, how much of immorality has become prevalent. Within the confines of our home, a person is engaging, is watching certain things which are immoral. So when immorality also becomes rife, then we find that Allah Ta'ala sends down sicknesses, Allah Ta'ala sends down plagues. Today we find that every single home, this is the condition. Every single room in the home, this is the condition. People are engaging in immorality. Respected elders and brothers, especially during this period, December period, let us keep ourselves occupied. Keep our children occupied. Rather go to the park, enjoy a day out in the park, do some cycling, do some jogging. If we have children, we've got a business, bring them in the business, let them work hard in the business. Keep them occupied instead of them engaging in immorality on the cell phones. Today we find that the conditions are becoming such that children too are losing their iman. Children are losing their identity. They are losing their identity as Muslims. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. As Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he mentions the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, اِتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. That, oh Abu Huraira, you just stay away from sins. Stay away from anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will become the most pious of individuals. You don't have to read tahajjud, salah and anything extra. But you just stay away from that which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. You will become the most devout and pious individual. You see, respected elders and brothers, on the one hand, and we give a hypothetical situation, you have an individual who is doing a lot of good deeds. He's making tilawat of Quran Sharif from the morning till the evening. But he's not good to people. He's nasty to people. She is nasty to people. She's violating the rights of others. She's making ghibat of the neighbor. She's gossiping about this person. She's slandering that individual. So what is happening, respected elders and brothers? It is like the example of a person who's got a huge bucket. He's going under the Niagara Falls. The water is filling inside, but in there he's got 10 holes. So she has got 10 holes in the bucket. By the time she reaches home, is there anything left? How much of water is left? And then on the contrary, you have another individual. Perhaps he may not have filled that entire bucket full of water. Perhaps only half has been filled, or quarter is filled. But yet the person, there's no holes in the bucket. When that person reaches home, they can still say that we've got quarter bucket of water. Yet that individual stood under Niagara Falls, the water was gushing down, but by the time they reached home, there was nothing. Hence, respected elders and brothers, mothers and sisters, every effort needs to be made in our lives to put that plug in every sin in our life. Another example comes to mind, and we've experienced a lot of hot days now recently. One Buzuruk Wali of Allah was traveling, and he had his sheikh with him, or he was with his sheikh, and whilst traveling, it was extremely hot. It was in one of the Middle Eastern countries, 45, 50 degree heat. And they were noticing that the aircon was on, but the car wasn't getting cool. So the driver said, just see, maybe one of the windows are not closed properly. And they looked in the back, one of the windows was slightly open. Immediately when they closed the window, the car became cool. So the sheikh said, what a lesson we learned from this. That you see, the aircon was pumping the air. The coolness was coming through. But what happened? That one window was open, the heat from outside was coming inside. The aircon was doing its job, but we were not feeling the effect of the aircon because that window was not closed. In the same way, respected elders and brothers, a person is performing good deeds. It is working. The rahmat of Allah Ta'ala is coming on the one side, but on the other side, the person in his shop is deceiving the customer. He is lying with regards to the goods. So now that window of sin, and each sin, respected elders and brothers, mothers and sisters, has got a link to the fire of Jahannam. Every sin has got a link to the fire of Jahannam. The headquarters is the fire of Jahannam. Hence we find that the inhabitants of Jahannam, they are always parishan, they are always restless, they are always going through difficulty. Hence whenever we will engage in any sin, the effect of that sin will be nothing but restlessness in the heart, nothing but anxiety in the heart. The person will feel happy, see, I managed to sell his goods, I spoke a lie, I sold the good. But the effect of that money, when it comes back in the business, it's going to create restlessness. Now you find that the brothers in the business are fighting. They're fighting. customers are getting upset and angry. I bought this goods here, look at how the goods are. Now, what happened? It was short-term enjoyment, but the restlessness, the consequence, the result of it was nothing but restlessness and anxiety. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the realization. Let us introspect in our lives. Let us look at our huququl ibad. We spoke about huququllah, and we should make sure that we are fulfilling all the rights of Allah ta'ala. But let us also look at our huququl ibad, that all those individuals that we interact with, whether it's our neighbors, whether it's our fellow staff that we're working with, whether it's our spouses, our children, how is our relationship with them? Are we fulfilling the rights or are we violating the rights? Remember, in this world we may be able to get away, but on the day of Qiyamah, a person will have to answer for every single deed that he committed. And remember also, in this world, the result of violating the rights of others is that we're also going to find that the conditions will be restless in our lives. Hence, respected elders and brothers, if we want the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, if we want the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, once some people came to Khaja Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali. They came to him, they said, Hazrat, make dua, we've got a drought in our community. So he said, make istighfar, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance, seek forgiveness for your sins. Another group of people came, they said, oh Hasan Basri, we don't have sufficient wealth in our community, we are going through a lot of poverty. Again he said, turn to Allah ta'ala, make istighfar, repent before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, two individuals, two groups of people came. Another person came, said, make dua, we've got no children. Same thing he gave them. So somebody asked him that, why did you give the same advice to all of them? He said, have you not read the verse of the Quran Sharif, in which Allah Ta'ala addresses the people, and Nuh alayhi salam addresses his people. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Nuh alayhi salam advised his people. He said that make istighfar, seek repentance, turn to Allah Ta'ala, ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive you for your sins. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Allah is most forgiving. What will be the consequence and the result of your istighfar and tawbah? يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. Allah Ta'ala will send down the rains upon you. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ. Allah will assist you with wealth, with children. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. And Allah Ta'ala will give you gardens, and Allah Ta'ala will give you lots of fruits. In the same way, if you want barakat in our businesses, barakat in our homes, good conditions, safety from these plagues, then we have to turn to Allah Ta'ala in repentance and tawbah. Seek the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. Ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive us. Therefore we make dua that Allah Ta'ala alleviates this crisis. And once again we'll advise all the musallis that whatever means we can adopt to protect ourselves, whether it is wearing the mask, etc., let us be responsible. Let us assist in this effort to curb the spread of the virus. But we as believers believe that this virus has been sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we want to change the condition, then we as believers must turn to Allah ta'ala and ask Allah ta'ala to change the conditions, and ask Allah ta'ala to forgive each and every one of us. Sometimes we say, but Mawlana, how are we going to change the whole world? Yes, we can't change the whole world, but we can change this 6-foot body that we have within our own lives. This little world within ourselves we can change. And let us start here, and let us start within our homes, and inshallah the result of it, the change will start spreading throughout our communities. May Allah Ta'ala make it such. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.